Mother's Day to everyone. What a great, great day. Good morning, good morning. Well, why don't you go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. We're going to get there in a little bit here. I'm going to take time to have an opportunity. I don't know if she's watching, but we're going to go see our moms this afternoon after church here. Run up to Elkhart and say hello. And just want to give a tribute. We have so many great moms, and I so appreciate the interview. You don't know how much, because on these kind of days, there are so many women that are moms to people, and what they do and how they care for them, teaching, and whether it be in a school situation or Sunday school situation or an Awana situation or a youth group situation, you can go on and on and on and on, and somehow, sometimes they get missed. We didn't want to miss you this year. We want you to know how much we appreciate all the ladies that invest in the lives of so many of our children over the years. God is greatly pleased and will definitely reward you. She's already rewarded, but how great. I don't know how many, and this might just be kind of fun, and there might not be any here, but how many people actually were under Pam Smith's tutelage? Could you go ahead and stand up? That'd be easier for us to see. Just to catch a little. Ho-ho! All right. Yes. Thank you. All right. And many, many more. My mom, oh my. She came from a large family. She grew up in a place called Oak Hill, West Virginia. Anyone know of it? Not far from Charleston, Fayette County. Anyone got it yet? If you've been there. Actually, her and my father actually grew up a few miles away, but they didn't meet for many, many years, interesting enough. She came from a very musical family. My mom was, I found this out in my adult years, don't know why I didn't learn it when I was young, but she was very good with guitar and pretty good at piano. Her sister was very good on piano, and the family had a radio show that they would put out, and each week singing and reading scripture and singing hymns of the faith. And even one of my aunts and her husband for years had a traveling group quartet for many, many years as well. My mom was actually best friends with my father's sister, but she was quite a bit younger, so there was that ability to have that friendship but never meet. But as my dad tells the story, this is it, of how he met my mom. Like many young men back in those days in the wartime, he lied about his age to get in because he wanted to fight. And so he got in and was there. And when he had come home for some kind of leave, I assume, for a weekend or so, his mom, my grandmother, invited him to church. And he was not a Christian at the time. But he loved my grandmother and honored her mostly and said, okay, I'll go. Well, it was a revival meeting is what it was. And it was a big tent meeting. Anybody remember tent meetings? So it was a big old tent meeting. And the place was packed. And there was only like one seat. And it was down front in the front row. And of course, guess who happened to be sitting there next to my dad when he sat down? It was my mother. And they had not met, that I know of, I understand the story, and she was enamored by him and him by her, I'm sure, and she really kind of felt a little sorry for him because the guy that was preaching was pounding away the pulpit, you know, going at it, and he happened to be in his sailor's uniform. I don't know if he was leaving that night or what that was all about, but they were preaching about all those dirty sailors. My mom felt so bad for him that she talked to him afterwards, and somehow they got to go out on a date, which led to marriage eventually after all being out of all the different wars that he was with. So I remember that, and I remember how much that my mom was just an important part of sharing and teaching about how God is working in our lives. And she would sometimes use that story and so many other stories to say, God's sovereign. He's able to bring all things together, work all things together for good. And you can be assured of that. When we got married, Dawn and I moved away, she would write letters. And in her letters, Mom would always have scripture. And when I say that, I mean she would write out in longhand paragraphs, chapters of Scripture. That was something she had done. She has written out the Bible at least once or twice in her life, from Genesis to Revelation by hand. That was one of the things she liked to do. And she would share those scriptures with us as we were growing up. And after we got married and I got called into the ministry, I was a school teacher for a while and all that, and God called us in the ministry, she would always ask, how's the ministry going? How can I pray for you? Always invested, always caring. In fact, when I go up today, I'm sure she's going to have some questions for me. And by the way, there's been several times where after listening to one of my messages, she says, I got a few questions for you. It's okay, moms can do that, right? That's what they do. She's still able to do that, and we're praising the Lord for that. I think of the Proverbs 1, 7 and 8 that says this, as the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? Fools despise wisdom and instructions. And then the next verse, hear my son. Hear my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. That's important. And today I just want to zone in on that because we know that raising children is really a village or a team effort. And I know someone quoted that years ago in a political speech, but there's truth to it. There's a lot of people that invest in our children. And sometimes those things can be good, and sometimes they can be bad as well. But we know that the word is true. Son, listen to your mother's teaching. So I was thinking about this week, and I thought, you know, there's always those mothers that we like to highlight on Mother's Day, and there's nothing wrong with that. We'll probably get back that again next year. But then there's some moms you probably never heard of, and some you probably would never preach about. Well, I'm going to wander out in the deep waters this morning, okay? So hang in there. There is a point to this. We got it. And I want to look and see what the Bible has to say about moms concerning how their choices do make a big difference on how they influence their children. And moms, no matter where you're at today, whether you're a young mom, a mom with kids in the house, or a grandmother, or a great-grandmother, or a great-great-grandmother, doesn't matter. You can still have that influence by the choices you make, whatever age you are. And I just want to encourage you and thank you for your ministry and commend you today. You know, from the very beginning, God in His Word said this, these words I commend you today that shall be on your heart, you shall teach these words of the law, they were talking about, to your children, but you can do it diligently, not just mention it once in a while. It was a diligent thing, and you know all about the next part of that verse where it talks about when you're sitting down, when you're standing up, when you're walking and all that. It's you've got to be intentional when you do it. So thankful for the mom. So I look at home as really being the schoolroom. The home is really the schoolroom for godly thinking and behaviors. That's where it's at. It's in the home. The church is a good support system. The school can be a good support system, can be, depending on who the teacher is. And we have that there, but the home is, to me, the place, the true schoolroom where this can take place. So the big idea today, and then we're going to unpackage it a little bit. I want you to choose, Mom, wherever you're at, and continue to choose. Maybe you already have. I want you to choose to use your influence. To use your influence. And yes, you have it. In the lives of your children and other children, to teach the laws and the love of God. You got it? That's the big idea here. That's what we're going to go in for. Now we're going to jump in by using maybe not the best example. So take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Everyone goes there for Mother's Day. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. So I call this the mom factor. Moms who want their children to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, they're going to seek to give godly advice by their words and by their example. So I want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 22, and let's see what verse we're in. I didn't write it down. I may have to just quote it for you. I'm so sorry. Okay. So, Ahaziah was 22 years old when he began to reign, And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah. Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. And he, the king, Ahaziah, also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. For his mother was his counselor in doing wickedly. Yes, that's it. His mother was his counselor in doing wickedly. So Athaliah would be in the running, basically, for the Cruella de Vil mom of the Old Testament. All right? If she doesn't scare you, nothing evil will. She did have a rough start, though. And if you want to study a little about Athaliah, the queen here, her father was King Ahab. Now, you may know Ahab. He was not the best example of godliness at all. And her mother, or some would say stepmother, depending on which scholar you want to read, was Jezebel. We know about Jezebel. So she didn't have necessarily the best environment growing up. She was married to a king, King Joram, but it was for political reasons. It was not for love. They were trying to unite and try to make peace. Solomon did that a lot and got in trouble with it. And so that trade continued to do over and over. They continued to do that over and over. So she had a bad father. She had a bad mother influence. She married someone she didn't want to marry, and just to make mom and dad happy. And she was also ended up being devoted to the false worship that she grew up with. So all this is poured into her, okay? This is Athaliah here. And unfortunately, Elijah during the time was really trying to make reforms and was preaching, and she wasn't listening. She wasn't getting it. As it was said earlier, the light bulb never went on, or if she saw the light bulb go on, she smashed it with a pole. She didn't want anything to do with that. She wanted to live her life the way she wanted to live. And when her husband died, the only thing between Athaliah and the throne was her son, who he went on, and he died like a year later. So she decided, I'm going to take the throne, and she had the rest of them killed. This is how evil this woman was. It's all in here in 2 Chronicles where we have this. You say, what a wonderful Mother's Day message. Thank you, Pastor. All right, so I'm just setting you up. It's okay. We're going to move on from her. But that's a story in the Bible, and I thought all Scripture was inspired, right? Is all Scripture profitable? All right, so we're going to look for some profit here. We have to dig for some pennies there. But there was an example of someone that's had a really bad environment, was grew up a certain way, was taught certain things. That's the way she lived, that's the way she thought, and that's the way she acted. Did she have a choice? Well, we're going to put her aside for a minute, and we're going to go to someone else. Now, I do have this one right, and I so apologize. I don't know what happened. But let's go to 2 Chronicles 29, 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles 29, 1 and 2. All right, so here's another story. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah. In Kings, I believe she's referred to as Abi, which I would like to call her that. It's just easier. So Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, he did what was right. Hezekiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David has done. So that's a good report, right? Everybody's going, whoo, I like that, versus the other. Wasn't just she, her father, but her son, who took the throne for a year, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And then when he died, she wanted to grab the throne. And the only way that she could do that was to get rid of all her other grandchildren. So she wiped them out. I mean, like, it's a terrible story. Now we go over here, and we have Hezekiah. Oh, he's going to turn out to be a good king. But before you get too far into the story, why don't we look at his circumstances as well, okay? I think this is important. This is where it kind of comes out here. Now, nothing more is really written much about Abi. We have some things from the Jewish scholarship that are very helpful. We only have two sentences from her. We got one here, we got one in Kings, and that's it. But that doesn't mean we don't have clues. A couple things we do know. Number one, when it came to the naming of the children, the mother was mostly the one who did it. Someone's done studies on these things, and they've charted this out. And most of the people that you know were named in the Bible were named by their mothers. I'm not saying all of them were, but most of them were. She had that kind of influence. Second thing, in Hebrew culture, back in the Old Testament, it was the mother who took care of the home. That included the education of the children. That included raising them up in the way, whatever religion it would have been. It's supposed to be Yahwehism, right? So it's supposed to have been. And so they were the teachers. They were the ones who taught them about the Lord, had them memorize scriptures and genealogies and principles. And also the mom was a big influence there. So she was there as well. In fact, there was one guy who talked, he had an article called Mother Naming Their Children in the Hebrew Bible. He says this, not only could women name their children, but they had influence in their children's religious learning and what language the children would speak if a marriage was a cross-cultural marriage. She had a lot of pull in the house. You need to understand that. It's, by the way, it's kind of that way in many countries as well, other countries. Not just here in America, but the mama rules. I remember a missionary coming from South America. They had spent 50-some years with the Machiginga tribe translating and developing a Bible. And believe it or not, the person in charge of the whole family was the mother-in-law. Better not say anything bad. That's the way it is in the families there. The mothers take care of. So, but I said, well, you haven't told me anything. Hang in there. So Ahaz, which is Hezekiah's father, was not such a good guy. All right? You can read about him in 28 and that chapter there. But he didn't spend a whole lot of time with his children. In fact, that was probably a good thing, probably a God thing. But we do know that he had some interaction with them. In chapter 28, verses 1 through 3, this is what we read about Ahaz. This is Hezekiah, the good king's father. So Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. You got that? So he's no different than Ahab and some of the others. There we go. Let's continue on. As his father David had done, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made metal images for the Baals, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And listen to this. And he burned his sons as an offering, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And he sacrificed and made offerings on the high places, on the hills, under every green tree. Okay, does that give you a picture? If she was Cruella de Vil, it must have been her husband. When it says he burned them, he doesn't mean like he took some kind of a rod and put the figure of the god on. No, he sacrificed them in the fire till they died. He burned them up, all his sons. That was the religion. He knew better, but he decided to go this way. So, okay, we can all say Queen Abi, she had a bad marriage, right? Nobody says amen. I'll say it, amen. She had a bad marriage. It wasn't good. Abi's circumstances were difficult. In a bad marriage with a bad husband, what's she supposed to do? Well, somehow God spared Hezekiah. Maybe she did. Maybe someone else did. But he wasn't sacrificed. And she took it upon herself, according to Jewish scholarship, to raise him. In fact, she's revered as one of the heroes of the nation. And she was able to take this young one in the midst of all this craziness, in the midst of all this idolatry, in the midst of the circumstances of the nation and everything that was happening that was ungodly and wrong, and everything's going. I'm going to choose to do the right thing. And she stayed there where she's supposed to go, right? She couldn't get a job at the local McDonald's or anything, so that's it. So she decided right there she was going to go hard to work and pour her life into this young boy. Well, what's going to happen? You never know with kids sometimes, right? What they're going to do. What are they going to do when they turn 13? Well, you sort of see some of that. But then what are they going to do when they turn 16 and they get their first car, right? Any parents ever have these thoughts? What are they going to do when they turn 18? What do they do when they turn 20? You're always going on and on and on and on. What will they really do? What really stuck with them? We get a little glimpse of that. This is what's really cool in the scriptures itself. In 2 Chronicles 29, of course, it says that King Haz, when he had died, he had done all these things. But when Hezekiah turns 16, he becomes co-regent with his father. Normally, and this happened even with King David, when you're ruling the throne and you're fighting all the time, you're not at home much. You come home a little bit. King Ahaz, out there doing all his political things and military things, probably not spending a lot of quality time with kid. But now at 16, now Hezekiah gets to be co-regent. That means he's king with his dad at 16 years of age. And for some time, together, they're together. Now, what's going to happen? What's going to stick? I wonder if the advice that mom gave him and the advice dad was giving him weren't the same things. That ever happened in homes before? Yeah, it happens quite a bit. So we have all these things here, and we have what is going to go on. Well, it says in 2 Chronicles 29 that when Hezekiah began to reign, it says in verse 2, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Man, I thought that'd be a hallelujah, praise God, woo-hoo moment here. Come on now, your own kids, your own grandkids, your own nephews and nieces. Is it worth a hallelujah when they do the right things according to the word of the Lord? That's better. Come on now, I'm going to take the Baptist sign off out there. Baptists are supposed to say amen a whole lot. All right. Man, when I read that, I said, wow. He got a lot of bad influence there. The nation wasn't in a good place. The circumstances were negative. It really wasn't any different than our Cruella de Vil. Not really. Except there was one factor. The mom factor. Moms, if no one's told you, even if you don't see it, thank you for standing in the gap. Amen. In bad circumstances, with bad things going around you, a lot of it out of your control, and you're willing to stand up for the Lord, your power of influence can change a nation. It did in the case of Israel. Hezekiah had an ear and listened. Something along the way, maybe he saw what his father was doing. Of course, he saw how his father died and all that was bad. And said, you know what? What mom said was right. And moms love to hear that word. Mom, you were right. And he did what was right in the eyes of his Lord. So what kind of culture do we live in today, folks? What kind of culture does America have? Let's not look at the rest of the world. Let's just look at us. That's probably a good place to start, right? I wouldn't say that our society here is the model society to follow. There are good things in our culture. Praise the Lord. There are great people and godly people in our country. Praise the Lord. But there's a lot in there that's not good. Amen? That's right. That's right. Our circumstances aren't necessarily always good. And there might be some moms here that are caught up in something almost as bad as this situation where the influences around their children aren't necessarily good. Maybe a split home, maybe sharing time. We see that a lot. Or we have a father who's not following the Lord and they're in the home and you're trying to make it a godly home, but the dad's not cooperating. Or you have an ex or all these other things that can happen, right? The circumstances look bad. And I'm here to tell you, one who follows the Lord will be blessed. And you can make a difference in your circumstance. Culture has an impact Absolutely. It's like every day you got to pull the sword out and do the fighting with the culture. It happens all the time. That's just part of it. But culture doesn't have the last word. I imagine Queen Abi fought an uphill battle because her husband was just full of syncretism. Probably couldn't even really describe Yahwehism anymore because it was mixed up with so many other Baals. So we had the Lord, and then we had all the other lords. That is a picture of our culture today. I got Jesus. This is confusing to kids, even kids in Christian homes, quote unquote. We have syncretism all over the place. We honor God. We put God first, except when I go home and treat my wife like I shouldn't. Or where maybe they're getting influences from the outside sources and it's not the father at all. Maybe the father and the mother are teamed up together and that's good. So praise the Lord, fathers. But the culture seems to push back. What do we do with all that? Make a choice to teach your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, the things of God. You could have such influence over their lives by your love. Here's the principle. You know it well, right? Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. That's a general principle the scriptures gives. Now, I'm here to give some other news. Every one of us at times will face those situations where children will not follow the ways of the Lord. This message isn't about that, okay? This message is to the moms and to the rest of us as well about being a faithful mother. That's what this is about. At the end of the day, our kids will have to make their choices as to whose God they're going to follow. Are they going to follow the God of the Bible? Hezekiah had to make that choice, as did Ahaz, and they made their choices. Mothers did what they did, but at the end of the day, they had to choose. Mom, this is for you and your encouragement, that you will be that mom, even when they make those choices, and don't ever give up, don't ever give up, don't ever give up, because that child, who knows how old he may be, we pray, as with the story of the prodigal child, he's going to open his eyes and lift them to heaven and say, things are better at home. Your mom will be waiting. Several things that my mom did for us that I don't know, I'm assuming Queen Abi here did, and that I know many of you do, and I want to encourage you to keep doing it. Don't give in to being tired. We're all tired. Mom warned us about the evil out there. When she sees it, what's going on, she had her pulse on culture. She understood what was happening. She understood the times. She was like the men of Issachar, right? They understood the times and what was happening around them. She kept aware of that. She warned us about those things. She also instructed us about what the Bible had to say about it. It was very important for Mom to let us see what Scripture says and not Mom's opinion. Now, Mom had a lot of opinions. Sorry, Mom. But at the end of the day, it was, thus saith the Lord. What does the Bible have to say about that? You're going through this? Hey, let's find out, what does Scripture have to say about it? It taught us an important lesson on the things, big things in life and how to live. Go to the Bible. It will instruct you. She did that for us. She did it consistently. Mom was not afraid to discipline us at all. She had no problem with that. I always hated the ones, though, where you got in trouble at home and she was at work. She worked at the church. And you get this phone call. And it was always I was the youngest of four boys. I don't know why I was in trouble all the time. But anyway, my brother would say, here, Mom wants to talk to you. That was usually never a good thing. I pick up the phone, and she says, well, you're going to be disciplined when I get home. No! Jump off the roof or something? She'd had no problem with disciplining us. Sometimes it was with a belt, and sometimes it was with other things that probably hurt a whole lot more. But one thing she did for us all the time was pray. It said a lot and really not considered to be as powerful as it is, but there is power in prayer. She prayed me through some things. One of the things she was a cheerleader too. She had a hard time with the wrestling side of it. She didn't like that. My brothers filled that gap just fine. But other things in life, yes, she loved it. She loved to cheerlead us, encourage us. So my question for you today as we wrap this up, I'm not looking that anybody here is an Athalia at all. But I think sometimes we can fall into that camp a little bit by just letting everyone else teach our children. I had them, I feed them, I put them to bed at night. And, you know, every once in a while I have a talk with them. I think that falls into the wrong camp. Now, I'm not talking about being a helicopter parent. That could be bad, too. But I'm talking about interacting with them, finding out how things are going, creating a culture of love and respect so that when that love and respect culture is done there, then you have great pathways to those tough times. And guess who they're going to run to? They're going to the one that loves them. That's you, Mom. That's you, Mom. So what are you willing to do, Moms, to prepare for that? What are you willing to do to prepare your children to be a Hezekiah? Because we're in that culture today. And all our ladies out here today, what are you willing to do to continue to make that happen? Well, my kids are raised and gone. That's good. Pick up someone else's. Jump in and help the children's ministry. Jump in and help the teens ministry. Jump in and help the adult ministry. Whatever it is, keep actively serving and developing because you don't know. Out of all those kids that were up there and others out here, there might be a Hezekiah. Anyone praying for what we're supposed to do in election time? God help our country. But I would say this, based upon the history of even the scriptures, in every generation, there's a Joseph. There's an Abraham. There's a Hezekiah. And that's thanks and largely to the moms and dads who raised them to love the Lord and serve Him. Moms, today I can't thank you enough so much. And maybe your circumstances were not good. Maybe you had the Cruella de Vil mother. I don't know. There's some that have. Or that she just wasn't engaged. Maybe she wasn't that bad. She just wasn't there. She really didn't train you. Don't let that circumstance keep you from being that mom. A mom that loves the Lord. And maybe you weren't the best mom. Well, get in line with all the other moms, right? Probably every mom here would say, I would like to try this a little different. I'd like to try this a little different. We're all in the line together. That's all right. What are you going to do for today? I want to encourage you. Seek to make your Ahaz's and Hezekiah's men of God and your Abis and your Athalia's women of God. Do your part with all your heart, and leave the results to God. Would you bow with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. A big shout out to all our moms who fight so many different things, culture just being one of them. Some of you are probably here and get kind of tired sometimes. Some of you have some really good support, and some of you may not have as good a support as you wish you had, would like. But a big shout out for all that you do. And I would ask the question, where would we be without moms like you? Thank you so much. What are we going to do from here forward? Let's go together and ask God to help us to be courageous enough to continue teaching the laws and love of God so that our children and the next generation will be ready to pick up their sword and their trowel to turn this society around for Jesus Christ, one life at a time. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your great love for us. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, as you're here with us today, even now, how you loved your mother so much. In fact, so much as you're hanging there on a cross, dying for our sins, with the burden of all of that being sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God in you. You turn to John and says, John, behold your mother. You were so concerned about her. You loved her so much. You said, take care of her. Watch out for her. Love her. For I'm going to my Father. That example there of being in a culture that had a form of godliness in many ways, and there were some there that truly loved the Father, but many that were just deceived, not really living for you. But Mary decided to rise above all the circumstances and to teach the Word of God, to teach the laws of God to this little boy named Jesus. Our Savior, you have a love for these mothers today. And Father, I pray that you'll bless all our moms today, whether they have children of their own or they have other people's children in a classroom situation or a church situation or somewhere in the community, how they play that role of mom. I pray that you'll just encourage them today, as it's so hard out there. Those who are fighting the battle day after day, and the kids, and many of them are just behaving like their parents. And they're coming, and it's a struggle. Help us to see them. Help them to see them as you see them and to love them, and it's very hard. But I pray that you'll bless them, and may they be just feel your love. And I pray for the moms here that maybe they have some regrets. I pray, Lord God, can we put all that aside? We all have regrets. Yes, we'd like to do things differently, but we're here. And so, Lord, we want to take the power of that guilt that can just drive us crazy. And I pray for our moms that they would realize, Lord, if I got something I got to deal with, I'll deal it with it right now, confess it to you, and find the grace of Christ in my heart, forgiveness and hope, and that I can be each day more like you. I got to tell you, I see so many of the faces out here, and they're great moms. May your love wrap them, and may they know that you're proud of them too. We pray for our children that they will grow up to be like Hezekiah, or Queen Abi, who decided to rise above her circumstances and do the right thing for Christ. We thank you for this family. In Jesus' name, amen.